0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard this Friday, as all Scottish sides in Europe opt to postpone their weekend fixtures next month. Dyson Maeder completes his medical at Ipswich, with his Celtic departure just hours away, as the club now focus on key reinforcements. And Motherwell beat Faroese side 2-0 as Hibs lose by the same scoreline to a team from Kosovo. I'm Gabriel Antoniazzi. Joining me in the studio tonight, it's Alex Ray.
Yeah, plenty going on. Gabsy, you know, Maeda looks as if he's going to depart Parkhead for a fee of around about £10 million, which is a really good bit of business. We'll get some good fixtures tomorrow in the League Cup also, and then obviously disappointment last night with Hibs. And you're absolutely right about the postponements. I think it's a way forward, you know, to give the Scottish teams the opportunity to progress.
Yeah, we'll certainly get onto that. But you touched on the League Cup there. How's it going with Thistle so far?
Yeah, well, thankfully we've got a day off tomorrow. You know, we've already completed our four, so we really need to wait and see how the remaining fixtures, to see if we progress into the knockout stages. But, you know, we've had a good enough kick of the ball over the last couple of weeks.
You and Mark happy with the way you're looking? And, you know, we're only a week away from the start of the league season.
It's mental, isn't it? Yeah, no, listen, we're pleased where we are. You know, we've got a few new guys in the building. We're trying to introduce them to the squad, the way we play, the system and so forth. And we've been pleased. I think it was 13 goals in four games. So overall, we're pretty pleased.
We'll hopefully get into that a bit more later in the show, but it's over to you at home now. You know the number, it's 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, it's been a reasonably quiet week for your club, been dominated by the news that Dyson Maeder is making that move to the Premier League. Around £10 million, he's completed his Ipswich medical and he is going to leave. Would you like to come on and tell us what he's done for the club, what legacy he leaves? Where does he rank kind of in those modern Celtic forwards over the last 10 to 15 years? Kasper Hoch seems to be the man the Parkhead outfit want as his replacement from Bodo Glimt. But do Celtic need to make their move now before someone else swoops in? It's a story we've heard many times before. Reports in Germany suggest the club is still £1 million shy of Paderborn's valuation for midfielder Mika Bauer, despite the player being keen on the move. And Greg Taylor, is he on the way back to Celtic on loan? The left back, could it be an understudy or battling with Kieran Tierney for that starting berth? Would you be happy with that? Get your calls in now. Rangers fans, assess the week at the club. We're going to be asking Alex to do the same thing in a few moments' time. Derek McInnes, of course, got that four-match touchline ban, which is being contested. They beat San Etienne 2-1 on Wednesday night, and they signed Vanya Dragijevic yesterday. How pleased were you with that latest signing? Of course, both Glasgow sides are in friendly action this weekend. What do you want to see? Would you have a half of the city you are on? As we said at the top, all five Scottish clubs in Europe have opted to postpone their weekend fixtures in between potential playoff ties. Now, that's fixtures on the weekend of the 22nd of August. Definitely no game for Celtic, Hearts and Rangers, because they all will have some form of playoff. Hibs and Motherwell could join them if things go well. It is looking good for Motherwell under Alfred Johansson. Won his first game 2-0 against Faroese side HB last night, but Hibs a 2-0 defeat to Malasheva of Kosovo. So plenty to talk about as ever. You know the number and let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. But Alex, let's start with that big news that the clubs are postponing fixtures. Yeah. It was an option that was introduced last year. It's something that many other European countries go through. What's your initial reaction?
I think it's a great idea. I think the better opportunity that we have get into these games, the better shape. You know, I know we're very territorial in these parts. However, we have to think about the bigger picture. We have to give these teams the opportunity to go into these games fresh and prepare properly. And obviously they go in there with a better opportunity to progress. Because I think over the piece in recent years, I don't think we've done enough in Europe. So I think by doing this, and I think the reason they've actually gone through it, as they've obviously asked the clubs if they want to go, you know, vote for this. And I think it's a proper and right way to go forward.
You've obviously been in that situation, preparing for European games as a player and as a coach.
Yeah, right.
What difference does it make then?
Well, first and foremost, you don't have to. It depends. You could be travelling up to Aberdeen, for example, maybe on a Sunday. Then you have to go travel within a couple of days to then go away in Europe. So it just gives you that opportunity to kind of build into that proper, whether it's a qualifier, whether it's a, you know, the league campaigns that you go into, whatever competition. So I just think it's a good opportunity to try and get to these latter stages. I think when you go in cold, particularly the early part of the season as we are now, you know, you haven't played a lot of fixtures, then it just gives you an opportunity to go in and prepare proper. I think that's what everybody looks for. You know, I think if you're going in and there's a game and then you have to travel 2 days later and things, it just becomes very rushed, and it just gives the teams an opportunity to go in and try to get a positive result. I just think in recent years it's been poor, but I think we have to do better as well, you know, whether we play more games leading up to these fixtures as well. So it's just trying to get the balance right, I think.
It is season defining. I remember last season, Russell Martin was asked that question. He was irked by it. But if you look at Rangers, that was season defining for Russell Martin. They got such heavy beating. And for Celtic as well, they losing that playoff game. And then it also just went in a downward spiral from there. Obviously, they turned it around. But these are season defining games so early on, aren't they?
Yeah, not without doubt. I even remember going back to when I joined Rangers 20 odd years ago. We had a fixture in Moscow. And you know, I think we lost 1-0 over two legs, and the pressure was on right away, you know, and people are looking for a good European campaign thing. So it's disappointing, and, you know, it puts a little bit more pressure on the manager, you know, because punters are really optimistic at the tail end of the season. Great, we've got European football, potentially you've got a qualifier going into the Champions League, into the Europa League, and then it doesn't quite materialise. So it's a bit from going from a high of reaching, right, okay, we're in these European competitions, to potentially getting out or getting relegated down to a lesser one of the three competitions. So I think you want to try and kind of, because what it can also do is it can galvanise you and it can hit the ground running. If you get into the Champions League, then financially for the clubs, it means fortunes, really. So I think ideally you want to go out. I highlight David Gray last night. You can see the disappointment in the fans, and obviously in him and his players. They got a poor result last night. So they'll be looking at that and going, right, okay, we have to turn that round, because it would be a bit of a blow to go out at this early stage.
Yeah, you at home, let us know what you think. How important is it for both managers on both sides of the divide here in Glasgow to get up to a winning start and win those early games, as Alex is saying? Just in general, obviously Celtic and Rangers haven't played so far, but Hearts, Hibs and Motherwell all have. What have you made of the Scottish clubs so far in Europe?
Yeah, well, listen, it's interesting. I missed the Hearts game the other night, and we've got one of the boys at Thistle who's a big Hearts fan, and he says they actually played really well. They had a few good opportunities, they just didn't capitalise.
Poor finishing.
Yeah, a poor finishing, and obviously they conceded for a few set plays, which is uncharacteristic, because that was one of their strengths last year, Hearts. I think defensively and offensively they were one of the better, if not the best, particularly attacking. Free kicks and corners, they were top of the tree. So that'll be a disappointment for them to concede, because they have guys in there that usually defend their box very well, and it's obviously a blow to lose four. You know, if they can get a couple of goals early doors, then potentially, you know, Tynecastle can be a volatile place. But it just seems as if it's unsurmountable. Fours, it's a big ask, really. So from their point of view, they'll be disappointed to lose that margin. And then obviously the Hibs performance, and also the result is really, really poor. And
does it surprise you? Because as you were saying, Scottish teams, not just Hibs, but in general, we've seen results like this over the last 5-10 years, just getting stung early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to give credit, you know, I think Motherwell, you know, I think that was a nice positive result for them. And I think I'm not quite sure who scored the left footed goal, but it was a wonderful strike. Oh, what a strike, man. Brilliant. He just cut right across it into the top corner. It was a lovely executed. And for me, that's really positive for the new manager. We talk about that, you know, is it Johansson at Motherwell? So that's a really positive start for him. The fans will be endeared to what they've seen so far.
So, as we know, all five Scottish clubs opting to postpone their games on the 22nd of August, if possible. Let's talk about Rangers then.
Yep.
What have you made of their week? Because it's been a busy week for no real football. Derek McInnes getting that three-match touchline ban, the friendly victory over St Etienne, and then that big signing yesterday, £4.5 million for a 20-year-old captain of Partizan Belgrade. What have you made of it from a Rangers perspective?
Well, it's been a busy week, that's for sure. Obviously, from a personal point of view, I think Derek McInnes he's obviously appealed it. He's obviously not happy with effectively a four-match with a one-game suspension, and he's disappointed with that. Just reading between the lines and something I read in the newspaper in the last couple of days, I think they were changed to be a bit more robust in the fine kind of situation, and I think obviously Derek McInnes has paid full of that change, because if you go back to Brendan Rodgers a couple of years ago, he was quoted as having a go at John Beaton, and it was a two game with one game suspended, so this seems a little bit more severe. But if they've actually changed the rules, and the managers and the clubs know this, then they know it was obviously going to be more than a two game, so they'll obviously put their case in the appeals panel and obviously try and get that reduced. It's a bit of a blow coming to a new club, and then obviously you've been hit with a three-game ban and one suspended. So from that perspective, it would be a disappointment. The game, it'll be interesting for Derek, because he obviously tried a 4-4-2, you know, and it was Chermiti and Shanklin up top. I actually thought St Etienne were really impressive. They've kept the ball really well, possession-based team. I just think as the game wore on, I thought Rangers, particularly when the changes came in the second half, I thought they got stronger and stronger. And it was a nice introduction for Cammy Devlin as well. I think he was very tenacious, as you would imagine, in the tackle. And I think that kind of gave the team a little bit of impetus to drive forward. And so a nice positive result. Shanklin's up and running in the goal stakes as well. So, he's obviously showcased what he's already done at Hearts. So you get a goal, gives you a little bit of confidence. And Asgard come back. I've been really interested. I think that's a massive season for Asgard. I think, you know.
You expect him to stay?
Well, who knows? What I do know is the Rangers squad is currently bloated when you look at the amount of midfielders they have, and there's speculation around Raskin, Conor Barron, Kasama, Antman, and then you also have guys like.
You've got Parami, for example.
Yeah, Bajrami. You've also got, I'm just trying to think of the boys getting back. You've got Ross McCausland. Yeah. You've
Lyle Cameron.
Yeah, Jose Cifuentes.
Yeah.
Cameron. So you've got all these guys that potentially may begin out the door. But the one thing you have to do is you have to balance your squad. So I think this, over the coming weeks, I think they'll obviously look to, because again, they brought the Partizan captain in, didn't they? And they've been chasing this lad. So it's interesting, because I think the one thing that's been coming out of the Rangers dressing room for several months, even going back to Danny Rose time, was they needed players with a different mentality. So it looks like the whole leadership group have left, effectively out with John Souter, but speculation over John as well. So there seems to be a lot of coming to and fro within the corridors at Ibrox. So I'm really fascinated to see where it all plays out. I think Derek's on record as saying that if you think about the way Derek's teams have always played, they've always had a couple of wingers, even going back to his Aberdeen days. Hearts last year were very much like that also. And he's also saying they would like to bring one or two in, hopefully by this time next week. So they've obviously got a couple in mind to come through the door, which would probably suggest that Kasama and maybe Antman may be surplus.
Yeah, well, we'll talk plenty more Rangers in a minute. Let's go to Celtic at the moment. We've got Laurie on the line. Laurie, how are you doing this Friday night?
Guys, good evening. How's my fellow Denistonian, Alec?
I'm fabulous, mate. I'm good. We won the golf today, the Partick Thistle Golf Day, Laurie, so I've got a new bonnet and a new towel, so it's been a good day.
Alec, I don't want to be unkind, but I hope that's the only thing he's won this season.
Well, listen, it's a start, Laurie. Listen, I'm a glass half
still early
moment.
Days.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your point tonight, Laurie? What are you coming in to chat about?
My point tonight is, once again, speculation rife and intense about Celtic and the transfer market. We've got Camilo Duran, £6 million across the line. He seems to be quite a good signing. We're in advance and if not protracted negotiations regarding Kasper Hoch and Mika Bauer. I think they'll get them across the line. Combined, they'll be £11 million. So if those two get across the line, well, I've spent £17 million thus far. Now, I do appreciate and understand that the first Champions League qualifier is on the 18th August. We've got to declare and register our squad to UEFA for the 11th of August. Well, that's about 3 weeks away. And there's talk about Greg Taylor returning to Parkhead.
What do you think about that, Laurie, if Greg was to come back?
Well, I'd welcome it. I always like Greg Taylor. The only thing is, I'm a bit dubious about it, to be quite honest with you, because Greg Taylor, I wonder if he's content to play second fiddle to Kieran Tierney. So I don't know that I'm entirely confident about that one getting done. But it does, it certainly gives us depth in the left-back position. So I'm quite optimistic There's an awful lot of people who are pessimistic. I'm not one of them. I believe implicitly in a blessed Martin. Rangers and Hearts have made their mark in the transfer market. I think Hearts have signed multiple players and never done them much good when they get annihilated the other night in Austria. So what are your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, Alec, just first of all, on Greg Taylor, what do you think about the possibility of him coming back to the club?
Yeah, I think it would make sense in terms of, as a stand-in. I don't think he would trouble Kieran Tierney. I think Kieran Tierney's numbers were pretty good last year in terms of his assist, and he scored a couple of important goals also. So I still believe he's ahead of him. I think that was one of the reasons why Greg Taylor left initially, was about the game time, and that'll be an issue for him if he comes back, I would suggest, this time. I think he played 14 games in Greece last year, so it wasn't really a successful stint over there. So listen, it's an opportunity for him to come back. He's familiar with the way Celtic play. He did really well, the inverted fullback, and I think a lot of Celtic fans at that particular time would have been happy, because I think over the course of the time since he left till now, they've had a variation of guys coming up and loan, and so I think he would be a natural one, whether it be a fee, because he's still under contract over there, isn't he? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So whether they have to pay money for him, I don't know. So whether they could get him over, I don't know what the actual details would be, but I think as a stand-in, I think he would be an ample replacement.
I think it's possibly a loan at the moment. And then just on Laurie's almost calm demeanour, can you understand why Celtic fans, after winning, what is it, 14 of the last 15 titles, even with the lack of signings out, can you understand why Celtic fans like Laurie might still be calm about their chances this year?
Well, listen, Laurie's of a particular age. I know Laurie Fidenison, so listen, it take a lot to get him nervous these days, but I think there's a general unrest about the lack of activity at Celtic Park at the moment. Playing golf a couple of days ago with some friends, for big Celtic men, and they were really kind of frustrated. They wanted the business at least a few more bodies in, and to be this late into the summer and only have one over the line, I think there'll be a source of frustration. I think there'll be a source of frustration with the Celtic management team as well, because Laurie mentioned, so it's three weeks or so, what is it, to the playoff, 18th of August?
Yeah, I think it's 3 weeks, yeah.
So you're looking at that, but then you also have to bed these guys in. You have to find out where they are fitness wise as well, because it's so important to play all these pre-season friendlies that Celtic have currently done, so that when they come back that they have these minutes in the leg. So it's ideally you'd like to have these guys in the build, and I know that, is it Bauer and Hawk that Laurie
the two
mentioned,
that being linked,
so they've obviously been linked, but ideally you would want them in so that you can bed in the style, get them into the environment, get them introduced to the group as well. So you wouldn't like to do that last minute and just feed these guys in, get into such important qualifiers. And I think that's been a source of frustration for some Celtic fans over the years, that they haven't got their business done early enough, and then they tend to do it afterwards when they either get to the Champions League or they don't get there. And there's usually a frustration when they don't get there because they've not got the bodies in early enough. So there's a balance, but you're absolutely right in terms of the board have done this time after time for a long time now, and they've still managed to get a really high success of, a high degree of success. So I think when you factor all that in, there'll be some Celtic fans that go, right, listen, we've got trust in this process, but there's obviously a lot out there who are frustrated also.
Laurie, just quickly, in terms of the players you're bringing in, you've brought in Duran, you're talking about bringing in Hawk and Bauer. Let's say you do bring in those twos or players of similar ilk. What else do you think Celtic need to do this summer? Would that be it for you, or do you think there needs to be more after that as well before the window shuts?
Well, I think there will be additional signings. I think we could be doing maybe with a couple of wide players. However, this is what a lot of people tend to forget. Those people who are anxiety-ridden about the lack of movement in the transfer market. The books have got to be balanced. What you can't have is a bloated squad of maybe close on 30 first-team players. So Celtic judiciously deal with the transfer market very sensibly. We always experience a profit. I realise there's £80 million in the bank. An awful lot of clubs splash money at targets. Rangers and Hearts are signing guys to me. No money have changed hands. They're free agents are out of contract. We'll spend judiciously And let no one forget, we have won 14 of the last 15 titles, so we're in capable hands.
Laurie, do you expect any more Celtic guys to be poached away? Obviously, it looks as if Maeda's gone. There's been links potentially to Engels and Negrin, Hatate.
Yeah.
Ali, can I answer to your question? I'm a realist. The SPL is a mere pit stop where players are concerned. Naturally, there will be players like Maeda and maybe Negrin and Engels to sort their stuff in a bigger stage. That's how it works. We buy low and we sell high. But we always seem to get it right at the end of the day, Alec.
Aye.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, Laurie, we're going to have to take a break, but thank you very much for your call, Laurie. Very confident as ever. Celtic fans, do you agree with him or not? Let us know after the break, and we'll take more calls after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now listen, this is the final of the summer edition of Beat the Pundit. Alex, you have a shot of winning the summer title. Do you know that? You have a shot of winning the summer the league. Now? If you win by three, you will be the summer champion. And if you don't, do you know who will be the summer champion? Tony Watt.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Please, I couldn't listen to him. I need
it
to get this done.
It is essentially Alex versus Tony Watt for the summer title. Let's find out who wins after these.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Super Scoreboard this Friday with me, Gabriel Antoniazzi, Alex Ray here as well, and he is playing the final edition of Beat the Pundit this summer. If you didn't hear before the break, Alex has a chance of being the summer champion. He has to win by more than 3 points, though, so 4, 5, however it is, to become the winner. If not, it will be Tony Watt who beats him. And Alex, you don't want that, do you?
Oh, man, I couldn't listen to him on Monday.
Oh, mate. Right, so who have we got on the line? I believe we've got Alan in Beath. Alan, are you there with us?
Yes.
How are you doing tonight, Alan?
Not bad at all.
Very good, thank you. You played Beat the Pundit before?
Last year, yes.
How'd you get on?
Rubbish.
Well, Alex,
no pressure, mate. I'm rubbish
again
as well.
Alex will be hoping for the same again if he is to become the champion. Right, let's put some music in Alex's ears. Okay, and Alan, you know the rules. Obviously, you get 30 seconds to answer as many as you can correctly. You can pass as well, okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay, right, let's play this. Let's go. Rangers face which English side in a friendly on Sunday?
West Ham.
Who wears number 8 for Celtic?
Engels.
Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
God. I'm going to say it's a... what do you call him? Portsmouth.
Which team play at Station Park?
Station Park. Pass.
How many clubs are currently on 0 points in the League Cup group stage?
4.
Okay, let's bring Alex back in. Alex, you with us?
Yes.
Okay, right. Alan has had his go. You need to win by 4 if you're to be the summer champion, okay?
4 now?
You need to win. It was, I was told you need to, 3 would tie you, 4 to win it, all right?
Right, I've got you. I thought you were giving me Alan's score there.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But you need a big score here, okay?
Go for it.
You ready?
Yes, mate.
Right, let's go. Rangers face which English side in a friendly on Sunday?
West Ham.
Who wears number 8 for Celtic?
McGregor.
Who is the longest serving manager in the Scottish Premiership?
John McGlynn.
Which team play at Station Park?
Raith Rovers.
How many clubs are currently on 0 points in the League Cup group stage?
3.
Bevy.com sponsor which Scottish top flight side?
Dundee United.
Who scored the only goal in Celtic's first league game last season?
First league goal. Negrin.
Okay. Let's bring Alan back in. Alan, how do you think that went?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. All right,
let's
get into it then. The first question, Rangers face which English side in a friendly on Sunday? The answer is West Ham, and you both got that. Congratulations, 1 point apiece. Who wears number 8 for Celtic?
Negrin.
The answer is Negrin. Alan, you went for Engels. I think he wears 27, and you went for McGregor, 42.
Yeah.
Both of you.
I came good there. I got Negrin.
You both. You stay on 1 point. Who is the longest-serving manager in the Scottish Premiership? Alex, who do you say?
John McGlynn.
That is correct. Impressive answer. So a 2-1 lead for Alex. Which team play at Station Park? You were both incorrect. The answer is Forfar Athletic.
I was there last week.
Were you? And it's an interesting one because Forfar...
Stark's Park, isn't it?
Forfar is apparently the stadium in the top four divisions, which is furthest away from a station. There's no station there.
Right, okay.
And that's Station Park.
I was there last week.
Keep that in mind. You should be doing better there.
Dear.
Right, so it's still a 2-1 lead for Alex. How many clubs are currently on 0 points in the League Cup group stage? You said 4 and 3. The answer is 7. A lot of teams struggling.
Wow.
7 of them out of those groups. So it's still a 2-1 league, a lead. Bevy.com sponsor Hibs. You got that one wrong as well. And then who scored the only goal in Celtic's first league game last season? Alan, if you had that question, would you have got the answer?
What was the question again, sorry?
Who scored the only goal in Celtic's first league game last season?
Oh, was it McGregor? No.
No, it was McCowan. Luke McCowan. Oh, you went for Negrin. So it is a narrow win, though. A 2-1 victory for Alex. Unlucky, Alan. A 2-1 defeat. So Tony has won the league. Tony Watt. Alex, you've come second. Alan, thank you very much for joining us this evening. But we do have someone to congratulate. It's Tony Watt, and we have someone to chat to you right now, Alex. Do we have Tony Watt on the line?
Hello.
Tony, congratulations. The summer champion. How does it feel?
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. We are delighted over you. Alex, unlucky. We're going to nickname you Alex. You got that one wrong, Ray, from now on.
I've got 100% record, but I take your point on board.
Well, that's one each after the day.
Yeah, thanks very much. I've still got the hat and the towel in the car, Tony. So thanks for organising today's event.
How did you play today, Tony?
I'd rather not answer that one.
To be fair, he done okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, he done okay.
Now listen, Tony, we're delighted to have you on the line this Friday night. Since you are the summer champion, we've got a special set of questions for you. You get to play one more time. And these questions are all about you, Tony. You don't have to play against anyone else. It's a Tony Watt special. Are you ready?
No, I'm not. I'll never be ready for that.
Right. Well, it's coming anyway. Alex, you can sit, laugh, and see how Tony gets on. Tony, question one. In what decade did you play your first professional game?
The tens.
Who did you play for between St Johnstone and Motherwell?
CSK Sofia.
Who has more Instagram followers, you or Alex Ray?
Alex Ray.
How many clubs have you played for in total? You knew this one would have been coming.
Oh, 14.
14, okay. Name the last Scottish club Alex Ray played for.
Ooh.
Good question. I thought this was about you, Tony.
It's a little wild card one in.
Falkirk, maybe? No.
You've gave your answer. I've need to take it.
Right, we're taking Falkirk. We're taking Falkirk. Alex in the studio. How many times did you play in an Old Firm game, Tony?
One for the grand total of about 90 seconds.
Which manager gave you your Celtic first team debut?
Neil Lennon.
How old were you when you scored against Barcelona?
18.
Who did you replace when you had subbed on for your only Scotland cap?
Oh. Ketchiania?
Okay.
Wow.
And how many goals have you scored for Partick Thistle? Final question.
11, I think.
All right. Alex, how do you think he did? Did you try and play along?
I would say he has got 2/3 correct.
Yeah, I think that's a bit fair.
Okay, right. First question. It was the 2010s when you played your first professional game, and it was CSKA Sofia between St Johnstone and Motherwell. So a strong start with two. Who has more Instagram followers? The correct answer is Tony Watt. There with 36K to Alex's 16K. Tony, you should have backed yourself there, mate.
No, he's big on Twitter. That's what put through me.
Oh, you're big on Twitter, aren't you?
No bad.
How many clubs you played for in total? You were swaying between two. It is 15, not 14.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you which is your favourite one because you've got one of your bosses here sitting next to me. What was the last Scottish club Alex Ray played for? Alex, can you tell us the answer?
Yeah, Dundee.
Dundee.
Oh, that was my second one, but...
I know, so it's three in a row you've got wrong there. How many times did you play in an Old Firm game? It was one. And what was it, 90 seconds?
It was 90 seconds, I think. I came on, didn't touch the ball, walked off the park, but I was buzzing.
Bonus question, can you remember what the score was?
3-0.
3-0, correct. 29th of April, 2012. 14 years ago. Which manager gave you Celtic team debut? It was Neil Lennon. And you were 18 when you scored that famous goal against Barcelona. This is an interesting one. Who did you replace when you were subbed off for your only Scotland cap? You went to Ketchiania. Who would you have said, Alex, if you had to guess there?
Cummins.
Ross McCormack.
Maybe. Ross McCormack, correct.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You got it in the end. And it is 11 for Partick Thistle. So congratulations, Tony Watt, the Summer Sessions champion. 6 out of 10 on the Tony Watt quiz. You're actually better at general questions, I think, than specific Tony questions.
I know a lot of people think I'm all about myself and I've got a fascination with myself, but I'd rather not speak about myself. I like to wind Al up about him. But I'm just wondering what my prize will be because I've got a little Beat the Pundit coin in my TV room. So... I would like to know what the prize is going to be for winning it, obviously.
You know what? I like the look of that thing right there.
Get ready.
What do you think?
Get ready. The Mark Wilson cardboard cutout.
Yeah, how's the Mark Wilson cup? Where would you put it? In the living room?
Bedroom.
In the bedroom. In between me and my wife.
Oh, no, it creeps me out every time we come in here. It's obviously off camera, but that Mark Wilson cardboard cutout, life size, is coming to you, Tony. Tony, how's your summer been and how's everything going at Thistle at the moment?
Brilliant, we're looking good. I think Al was a bit more modest when he spoke about it earlier on in the show. The new signs have looked good. All the boys that were here last year have looked good. We've brushed up on a few things as well. I won't give it away, but there's been a little bit more detail gave on certain things and it's really, really came to fruition. I think Al will tell you that privately. And yeah, I've also... My newborn son, my first kid, 9 days old, so we're absolutely delighted. My wife's been an absolute hero. She's been... a superstar, and yeah, I can't be happier. Life's good at the moment.
Massive congratulations to you and your wife, Tony. What's your little boy's name, if you don't mind me asking?
Gabriel.
Are you joking?
No, it's Gabriel, yeah. I thought you knew this.
How would I know that, Tony? Well, what a fantastic name. What's going to be the nickname? Because I've got a few. What are you thinking?
I think Gabe.
Gabe?
Yeah.
That's the one I like the least. Wow. Gabs or Gabby?
Gabs, yeah.
Well, my wife's called Gabrielle, and she gets called Gabs or Gabby, so we can't do it.
Honestly, that's amazing. Congratulations, Tony, and congratulations for winning the summer quiz as well. Before we take a break, Alex, you just wanted to tell us briefly about what Thistle have got coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, Nicky Little's testimonial, Clyde Bank versus Partick Thistle, 3 p.m. this coming Sunday at Clyde Bank. Get yourself along, show a good day.
Yeah, Home Support Park, them. Of course, that is our local team here in Clydebank. So Nicky Little testimonial, as Alex says, Thistle will be involved. Right, we're going to go to a break now, but we're going to take plenty more of your calls. 0141 951 1025 in the final part of this week's show.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gabriel Antoniazzi, and Alex Ray here. All Scottish clubs that are in Europe have chosen to postpone their weekend fixtures if they are in playoff contention. That's the big story this evening, so we'll be happy to hear your thoughts on that. Celtic fans as well, let us know. Dyson Maeda looks like he is hours away from being confirmed as a Premier League player with Ipswich Town. What is his legacy at the club and who needs to come in to replace him? But Rangers supporters, what do we think this week has been like? We've got Jim from Govan on the line. Jim, how you doing?
Yeah, I know, but I just out panel.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Jim. What have you made of this week? As we were talking to Alec earlier, it's been a big week. Lots of new stories happening. What have you made of it all, from McInnes to the friendly to the new signings?
Well, I think McInnes getting a 4-game ban is not right at all. When it was taking place, was a hot manager at that time. Why did that affect Rangers?
Are you of the view that, you know, I mean, you can understand why some Rangers fans might think this happened at a different club and now we're the one that are going to pay for it if he's going to be suspended for the first three. But, you know, who is then going to pay for it? The Wouter Franken at Hearts?
No, listen, the way it works is, I remember going to Sunderland and I'd been sent off my last ever game at Millwall, and I served a 3 or 4 match ban because it was my second stint I've been sent off that year. So the suspension carries over, so it's only right and proper that the suspension's fulfilled. So obviously Rangers pay the price from that. It's just unfortunate it was done in the last
second last game, penultimate game.
So the time they process that, and then ultimately the sanction kicks in during the summer, so it naturally kicks forward. So it's just the rules. It would happen for everyone else, so I don't see anything too awry with that one.
Jim, do you think it would affect those first games, considering it's his first games at the club? If he is banned for Dundee United away and it's Hibs at home and another one, do you think it would affect your team?
It'd affect every favour in that position, I'd say.
So what do you expect the opening weeks to look like? Because we've had so many Rangers fans on here confident. You've made 7 signings at the moment. You know, Celtic obviously lagging behind on that front. Are you confident you can hit the ground running this campaign?
Sorry, say that again, please.
Are you confident you can hit the ground running this campaign, even with the fact that McInnes could be suspended?
There's a long way away from this start of the season. You need more players.
You still need more players. Where would you like to see them improve specifically, Jim? Because you've brought 7 in at the moment. What areas still need improving in that Rangers team?
I think the centre-backs need stronger, the defenders.
Alex, that's something you agree with? We saw Godfrey, who was the captain the other night with Fernandez. What are you making about the Rangers backline?
Yeah, I think obviously John Souter's, there's talk about him going out the door, so that would free up another one to come in. So possibly, I think one of the priorities for Derek is that he's looking for wingers. I think he's on record as saying that as well. But, you know, it's interesting, we had Bigelori on earlier on talking about bloated squads and balancing books and things. Rangers really need to trim a lot from the current squad that they have at the moment. You know, the amount of midfielders, central midfielders, is mental. You know, they've got Cifuentes, Diamandé, Asgard, Bajrami, you know, in that kind of central, you know, a number 10 position, Chugwani, Raskin, Barron, Dan Neal. So it's really, really is bloated. And so I would imagine there'll be a few going out the door. And as we've mentioned earlier on, I think potentially Gassama. And Ant-Man didn't do anything of any note last year, so whether they give him a bit more time, I don't think they featured at all the other night, did they? So ideally they'd need to get some more firepower in. I think young Finlay Curtis is a bonus, because I think he did ever so well last year at Kilmarnock, got a little bit of experience, and they'll be looking for him to kick on as well and showcase what he can do. But they still need other options in the wider areas.
Let's talk about just the exits there in central midfield. Nico Raskin, do you think he's away? He was really impressive for Belgium at the World Cup. And if he is away, what kind of fee are you looking for?
Yeah, well, I think they were mentioning around about the 20 million, which is interesting, because obviously Engels didn't make the Belgian squad and he's gone for 25-ish. So, you know, but it would depend on add-ons and things as well, whether they stay, because it was linked to, was it Hull?
I think so.
Yeah, I think the Premier League. Nico's linked to
also Hill. Linked to, was it Bologna in Italy? One or two Serie A teams, I think, interest.
So listen,
well,
I think there's obviously a bit of speculation with Nico, and with Dan Neal coming in as well, and then Wee Devlin, and you know, you've got all the host of other players. I think it's time to cash in. I think it's important for Rangers as a club to become that kind of the business model where you buy for a certain price and then sell it on an inflated price, having got some good service as well. And I think Nico's already done that. So I think the time of that's right. I don't think you'll probably get any more in the coming years, because, you know, going to the World Cup, doing okay. And it may well be the case, and you know, with the amount of players that they're actually bringing in as well, and you also have to balance the books as well, you know, with financial fair play. So I think it would make sense that there's potentially a couple going out. I know, I think Asgard's been... kind of kind of tracked by several clubs as well for one or two. I think it was one performance, two performance in the World Cup. But anyway, he did okay in that game. So potentially he could be. But Gassama, you know, I think it was Bruges who have just sold someone to Arsenal. So there was a link there as well for £7 million. So potentially could be a couple going out the door at Rangers.
Just quickly, Jim, are you happy to see, not happy to see, but do you think it is right that Nico Rasker moves on, and what kind of fee would you like to see the club bring in?
I'd want less than £25 million.
£25 million. So you're looking
World Cup. He was a really standout player for Belgium.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Belgium were the only team that scored against world champion Spain. Yeah. And in that second half, Raskin was a top player. I mean, the keeper dropped one at Marino's feet in the last minute. But no, Raskin outstanding. So £25 million, do you think that's achievable? I mean, that would be close to a transfer record, you know, at Scotland.
No, potentially. They'll be obviously trying to drive the price up. And I think it'll be around about the 20 plus mark. And I think that's partly when you go for a player that's just competed in the quarterfinals Belgium got to, wasn't it? So I think that's a fair price for Nico, and as I said, it gives an opportunity for Derek McInnes to then go and reinvest that back into the squad.
You'd expect him to spend it on wingers?
Well, I, after the other night when he was saying that he needs wingers, and when you look at, as I said earlier on, I think at Aberdeen he went for out and out wingers as well, and Hearts last year, so I would suggest that they need to bring a couple more into the building.
Brilliant. Well, Jim, thank you very much for your call. Thank you to everyone at home who phoned in, and thank you to everyone who watched and listened as well. Thank you to Alex Ray for being with us. And thank you to all of you who made it through the summer. This is the final 1 hour show. We are back on Monday, bigger and better than ever. 2 hours, Gordon Duncan will be back in the hot seat as well as we get ready to do it all over again. The madness of Scottish football will resume for another season. So thank you very much for watching, and make sure you tune in for another campaign. It's Friday, so you know what that means. GBX is up next.